We begin the current daf in Sechtes Megillah Daf Yud Ches. Begin 8 lines down with the top of the Amid. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is we were discussing the Seder of the Amidah of the Shemayna Esrei, that the order is important, which we spoke about, the Halach of Ar Mishnah, the Megillah has to be read in its order, so too other things like Hal and Krishma, so too is the order of the Tefillin. The Gemara is in the middle of discussing the Brisa that discusses the order that the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, that the 120 sages that they put together, this specific order, even with through prophets, there was prophecy that was involved in that order. And we're in the middle of where we got up to Maidim, and then on that the Gemara continues. So Umaro Lemer Birkas Kehanim. So what did they see fit to have the Birkas Kehanim, which the Kehanim say Yivarechacha, they go through the three different brachas. Acharayda, why was that put in after the bracha of Maidim, before the bracha of Sim Shalom? It says the Gemara, because the pasuk says Vayikra. It says Vayisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am v'yavarchem, that Aaron lifted up his hands to the people and he blessed them, which that's Birkas Kehanim. Vayerid ma'asay sachatas v'oil v'shlam, and he came down from doing the sin offering and the oila and the shlamim. So you see that after the Avaida is where there's the Birchas Kehanim. But the Gemara asks in that, Eima Kaidim Avaida. To the contrary, it sounds like if you read the Pasuk, first he did Birchas Kehanim, and then he came down after doing the Avaida. So Birchas Kehanim should come first after Shema Keleinu, and then you should have the Bracha Britzei, because the Avaida came after that. So the Gemara Lois HaGadayetuch, he can't entertain like that. Because the Pasuk says, Vayerid Me'asei Sachatas V'Gemi, he came down from having done the Karmi Chatas. Says the Gemara, Miksav Lasses, does it say to do? Doesn't say that it, Vayerid Lasses Sachatas, that, oh, after he did Birchas Kehanim, then he went to do it? No, Me'aseis Ksav, from having done it. Meaning, the Birchas Kehanim was after he had done that, and then he was coming down after doing Birchas Kehanim. Says the Gemara, okay, but Belemer Achar Havaida. But then say it after the Havaida. It sounds like that the service, what the Kehanim did, then after having done that, they did Birchas Kehanim, and then they came down. So why is it after Maidim? It should come before Maidim, after Itzei. So the Gemara Leisa Kedayetach, he can't entertain that, like we brought the Pasuk before, Zeveach Taida. We brought the Pasuk that says, Zeveach Taida, he offers thanksgiving, but we see that the word Zeveach, which is the Zevachim, the Karbanis, which is Avaida, and right after his Taida is thanksgiving, which is the Bracha of Maidim. But says the Gemara, okay, Maichas de Samcha Rahai, where do you see to rely on that Pasuk? Samcha Rahai, rely on this Pasuk, where we see that the Birchas Kehanim was after Ritzei, and not Maidim after Ritzei. So you have two contradictory Pasukim. Says the Gemara, but yeah, but Mestabra Avodah V'Adah Chada Milsi. It's still more logical to say that the service in the Beis Hamikdash and thanksgiving, which is the Bracha B'Tzei HaMoedim, are essentially one thing, because giving thanks is also a way of serving God. So therefore, it would make more sense, although each one is saying it after Avodah, to have Moedim after Ritzei and not having Birchas Kehanim, but rather having Birchas Kehanim after Moedim. Says the Gemara, okay, for the final Bracha, Maro Olim Sim Shalom Acher Birchas Kehanim. What do they see fit to have the Bracha of Hashem giving peace to the Jewish people after the Birchas Kehanim? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says in the Midbar, B'samu Eshemi Al B'nei Yisrael, this is after the Birchas Kehanim, after he says, Yibarecha Hashem Yishmecha. Hashem says, B'samu Eshemi Al B'nei Yisrael, you should place my name, which is the blessing, Al B'nei Yisrael, on the Jewish people, V'ani Avarachem, and I will bless them. It says Gemara, Bracha Da'Kadosh Baruch Hu Shalom, which is saying, if you bless, if you'll do Birchas Kehanim, then Hashem says, I'll give my blessing. And what's Hashem's blessing? What's coming after Birchas Kehanim? Bracha Da'Kadosh Baruch Hu Shalom is peace. Shalom, says the Pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Hashem Yavarach, Hasamah V'Shalom, Hashem blesses His people with peace. And therefore, after the Birchas Kehanim, is Hashem's Bracha, which is peace. Now the Gemara goes back to from the previous daf and asks, since we said there's 120 elders, amongst them prophets, and with them were prophets. Tiknu tefillah ala seder, they organized the tefillah, the prayer, in a specific order, and if you do it out of order, you're not yaitzim. So, Shimon HaPakuli, my hister. The Gemara, when it brought this idea, right before it said that Shimon HaPakuli, who some say would sell cotton, that he organized in front of Remulil. What exactly did he organize if it was already from the 120 elders? Says the Gemara, yes, shalchum v'chazor v'sadrim. Yeah, the 120 elders had organized it, then it was forgotten, then he went and put in the appropriate order, and that's what he went and he did in front of Rabbi Gamliel. Now, says the Gemara, Mekam ve'elach, from here and on, after that this was canonized, the 18 brachas, 19 brachas of Shemayna Esrei by Chazal, asul asaper, it's forbidden to go ahead and say over with an establishment of a blessing, b'shivcha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Amr Belazi says, what does it mean the Pasuk in Tehillim that says, Mi Yamal Gvurus Hashem, who will say over the might of Hashem, Yashmi Kol Tehillah will say over all His praise. So he interprets the Pasuk as follows. When it says, Mi Yamal Gvurus Hashem, it means, Lami No Lamal Gvurus Hashem, for whom is it appropriate to say over the might of Hashem? As the end of the pasuk says, "Lamisha yochel lashmir kol tielase." Whoever could say over all his praise. Now, there's nobody who could say all the praise of God. So, therefore, it's not appropriate for anyone on his own to go ahead and say praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only what Chazal had already instituted in the Shemoneh Esther. Now, Amar Rabba B'chanan Rabbi Yechanan. He continues similarly. He says, "Hamasape b'shivcha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoseh midai." Whoever says over from the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than that what's necessary, nekam in ha'ilam, he gets uprooted from the world. Shlemak says the pasuk in Eve. It says, "Hayesuperloi." Can he tell over to him, meaning all the praise of God, ki adaber, because I'm going to say words of praise, im amar ish, if a man is going to say to do this, ki yivula, he's going to get swallowed up. A person can't think that he's going to, oh, he'll go describing. The more you describe, the more inferior it's coming across. As the Gemara says, the darsh of Yehuda ish kfar gibirai, v'amrila, some say it's ish kfar gibir chayil, from a different village. Medrash said, what does it mean the pasuk in Tehillim? L'cha dumiya tehillah. To you, Hashem, silence is praise. So he says, Sama de koila mashtoika. The most choicest spice for a God is silence. Don't talk too much. The silence is better than the talking. As the Gemara says, Kiyasar Abdimi Amar, that Amir B'Marab in the West, they said in Eretz Yisrael, Mila besela, a word buy with a sella. Mashtuka betrain, silence you buy with two. In other words, if you're going to buy something, and if they're selling words for a sella, buy silence for two. Which is, kaniyadati. Which is that only I know, is you can't say these things out. The more you try saying it, the less it, you're going to actually bring across. And therefore, a person shouldn't say any brachas, Mother Mechazal already instituted. Now, the Mishnah said, Kura al peh, lo yatza b'chulu. Our Mishnah was discussing regarding different laws, how to recite the Megillah. So we spoke about Karel Mafrei, which is titled the Parak. That's not fulfilling the obligation. So the Mishnah said, Kura al peh, if one recites it orally, lo yatza hasn't fulfilled his obligation. It has to be read from a Megillah. Says Gemara Menolan, where do we know this from? Samar Rabbi says, Asti Zechiri Zechiri, we have a Gezer Shava Hekesh of Zechiri Zechira. Ksiv Hach, it says over here regarding the Megillah by Yom Me'il and Niskarm, that these days should be recalled. Ksiv Hassam says over there in Shemais, which actually the same context, which is fighting Amalek. Ksiv Zay Zikarm B'Sefer, write this as a recollection in a Sefer. Now, Malahal B'Sefer, just like over there, the recalling was through a Sefer. Avkam B'Sefer, also over here recalling the descendant of Amalek, of Agag, which is Haman, is also has to be with a book, with a scroll. Now, says the Gemara, but how do you know, you're learning it from over there, that the Zekarin, which over there is in the Sefer, so to over here. But how do you know that over there by Amalek, the recalling means saying it? Maybe it means just analyzing. Yeah, the analysis has to be in the book. But where do you learn that this halacha, that you have to read it from a Megillah, from a Sefer? Says Gemara, you can't entertain to say that when it talks about recalling, it means just remembering and not saying it. Because the Pasuk says, Zachar. Says you should recall this which Amalek did to you when you were on your way out from Egypt. Now, says the Gemara, Yochabalev, you would think that means to say remember it in your heart. You can't say that. Keshuem, when the Pasuk says, Nevarm li sishkach, don't forget what he did to you. Harishik chasalevam, already saying the don't forget in the heart. Because that's what the recollection, not forgetting, is the minimum is in the heart. Haman mekayim zachar, then what's it saying? To recall must be bepeh, orally with one's mouth, and therefore we know that over there the recollection is from a sefer. So over here the actual saying it is with a sefer, with a scroll. Additionally, the Mishnah continues to say, Kara targum, if someone reads the Megillah in the Aramaic translation, lo yatzi is not fulfilled his obligation, b'chul, etc. Now the Gemara wonders, hey chadami, what's the case talking about? If it's written Hebrew words, v'kari le targum, the one who's reading it is reading it. He's translating it. He's not saying the Hebrew words. He's saying Aramaic translation. Well, hainu al peh. That's essentially saying it by heart because you're not reading those words. And we already said that reading it by heart, one does not fulfill the obligation. So, no, the case the Mishnah was telling us was the ksiva targum. It's written in Aramaic. The korle targum is reading in Aramaic. So it's not orally. It's not by heart. He's reading it from the script. But such a script is not valid. It has to be a ksava shuri. It has to be in Hebrew and then read in Hebrew. That seems to be contradictory for the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, but for those who speak a different language, you could read the Megillah for them in their language. Says Gemara, but you just said, we said besides if you read it in Targum, it also says in the Mishnah, if you read in any language, you have fulfilled the obligation. And then you say that if you read it for their language, you fulfilled the obligation? Says Gemara, Rav Shmuel, Damar Tavai, they both explain that, you're right, any other language is not valid. When we said that if you read it for Laz, Balayazais, you fulfilled the obligation, that means Balaz Yavani. This other language that we're saying you fulfilled the obligation means in Greek. which, as we had in the previous daf, as we're going to quote shortly, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds that Greek is similar to Lashon HaKodesh. So therefore, that's what we mean. That's the one exception that will fulfill the obligation. But says Gemara, Hechadim, what's the case talking about? If it's written with the Hebrew words, and the one who's reading the Megillah for the public, he's reading it in Greek words, that's what he's reciting, he's making his Greek recital, well, hainal peh. That's essentially the invalidation of reading it by heart, because you're not reading those words. You have to be reading the words that you're saying from a script. So Amar Balcha, Amar Balazi says, no, it means Sheksuv Balaz Yevanis. The Mishnah is telling us, if it's written with Greek words and you're reading Greek, which is the translation of the Megillah, that's what the Mishnah is saying, won't fulfill this obligation. Now, V'amar Rebacha, Amar Rebelazer, the Gemara goes as a side here for a moment, another teaching from the same Amar Rebacha, Rebelazer, says, Minayin shekaro HaKadosh Baruch LeYaakov El. Where do we know that God called Yaakov Avinu El, which is, means mighty, which is a term that's usually used for God. Shneim like it says in the Pasuk, it says that that Yaakov built him an altar over there in Mizbeach, and it says Ve'yikro loy El, and he called him El, Elihei Yisrael, the God of the Jewish people. So he explains why it's not like the simple translation, which generally it's translated that Yaakov called the Mizbeach El, Elihei Yisrael. He says the Yisagadaydech leMizbeach karo leYaakov El. If you're going to think to interpret that it's that Yaakov called the altar El, like after God. So, Vayikol lo Yaakov mi Bayle. It should have said, and Yaakov called it El Elohe Yisrael. Ella, Vayikol lo Yaakov El. So he says, rather, it's actually not going on Yaakov calling. It's God. Vayikol lo, it doesn't say the word Yaakov, but it's Vayikol lo, God called Yaakov El, as the Pasuk explains. Umikara El. And who called Yaakov El? That was Elohe Yisrael, the God of the Jewish people. He called them El. So it's God calling Yaakov El. Now, the Gemara goes back to Meisvei asked on Rav and Shmuel from the following Brisa, that they said that Greek for the Megillah is valid. The Brisa seems to say that if one reads it Greek, one does not fulfill his obligation. As the Brisa says, Kedor giftis, ivris, elomis, muddis, yivonis. The Gemara is saying, the Brisa is saying many different languages. If one reads the Megillah, including Greek, lo yotz does not fulfill his obligation. That refutes Rav and Shmuel, who they're saying, the halacha of a Mishnah is saying that if one reads in Greek, the Megillah, one has fulfilled his obligation. Says the Gemara, no, ha, it's not a difficulty on Rav and Shmuel. To the contrary, this halacha of Rav and Shmuel, loydami el laha, is actually only similar to the other halacha as we find in the Braisa. Giftis legiftim, if you read to those who have the language of giftis, and you read for those people of giftim, that language, which is the same wording we find in the Mishnah that Rav and Shmuel are coming to explain. Leloya zois belaz, for the people of that language, you read that language. And similarly, ivris leivrim, which Ivri means to say those who live on the other side of the river. If you read them their language, Ilmis l'ilmim, for those who live in Ilmim, you read Ilmis. Yevanis l'yevanim, you read Greek to the Greeks. Yatsa, you will fulfill an obligation. So you see that reading Greeks for the Greek is a valid option. Then says Gemara, well, if that's the case, then Rabbi Shmuel, amai mukmilo l'masnit balaz yevanis, then why did they say that? You're right, you can't read any other language. The one exception is Greek. So you were answering Rabbi Shmuel, but you see Greek's not valid. You're right, that's for other people. For the Greeks, then Greek is valid when you're reading the Megillah with them. But based on what we just said now, it's not just Greek for Greeks, it's any language for their language. So look, Mabuchala, so then they should have said it for any nationality, any people, their language is valid for them. Why are they saying then just Greek? So the Rabbi the Gemara says, you're right. Masnit and Kebraisa, the halacha of our Mishnah is like this Braisa that we just quoted. When the Mishnah says that if you read in any language that it's not valid, means like giftis for the people of Madai, or the Median language for people of Giftim. But you're right, if you read for Loyazos Balaz, each man according to his language, that's going to be a valid fulfillment of the Kriya Megillah, as our Mishnah says, as we see in this Braisa. But Chiyit Med Rav Shmuel, when did we quote this teaching of Rav Shmuel? Actually, Ba'almit, but it was going in general, wasn't going to answer the Halach of a Mishnah, because that Halach of a Mishnah is not uniquely in the Halach of Greek. Rather, as follows, Rav Shmuel Damet Tavai, they both said, Laz Yevani, this foreign language of Greek, la kol kosher. That's valid for everybody. Now, says the Gemara, but voktanim le'in the Braisa, yevanis li'yevanim, in. It seems like for that Braisa, giftis for giftim, mirdis for madai, and they said the Greeks for the Greek, that is valid. But l'kul amalai, we see that for everyone, it's not valid. That would contradict what we're saying Rabbi Shmuel says. Says the Gemara, yes, but in Udama Kreb Shem Gamliel, that Braisa is not like them, but they're saying like Kreb Shem Gamliel. It's not like we learned previously, we quote on Daf Chesam Abayz, Shimon Malilim, he says, Av Svarim lo hitirish yichtav el Yavanis. He said that no, the Sifri Torah you can't write in any language. He says the Svarim could only be written in one other language, which is Greek. And therefore, yeah, that's the one exception. And therefore, although other languages could only be for the people of that language, Greek is different. That is a universal language for all of the Jewish people. So says the Gemara, V'lemer halacha k'r b'shimim b'lil. Then why did Rabbi Shmuel have to say this whole halacha that lo yazayis yevanis is kasher l'kol? Just say halacha like b'shimim b'lil. He's the one who said this opinion. Says Gemara, I'hamer halacha k'r b'shimim b'lil. Had they said that, havimina, I would have said, hanimila shar svarim, that that's for the other sifri of Tanakh. Of a Megillah, the Chesedba Kikesavam, which actually we mentioned this idea in the previous daf. Megillah says, as they're writing, which is Lashon HaKadosh, Ashuris, Emaloi, I would say that this would be an exception to the rule of Rishon Megillah. And actually, it would not be valid, even according to him, in the Greek language. That's Rav Shmuel coming to say that no, Megillah is also going to be kosher for everyone with the Greek language, just like Lashon HaKadosh, because Rav Shmuel, as we find, Yaftal Kim Leyafes V'Yishkim Bali Shem, that the Greek language is different than all the other languages. Although all other languages is Loyazes Balayz, for them, for their own people of that language, it's valid, but other languages for the others are not. Greek is different, and according to Rav Shmuel, it's valid for everybody. And that's what Rav Shmuel was coming to say. Now the Mishnah said, V'haloyez Shoshama Ashuris Yatza V'chulu. But people who speak a different language and they hear it spoken in Hebrew from an Ashuri Megillah, so Yatzah, they fulfill the obligation. So that's like a universal validation of Megillah. It says the Gemara, but b'holo yodah maikamri, but they don't know what's being said. And that's actually part of when you say in the language for those people, so they understand this, so that's going to be valid, we said. Why would it be if someone who doesn't know Lashon HaKadosh, that he's going to fulfill his obligation? Says the Gemara, "Midi have anoshim ba'amei aretz." You're right. It's the same thing that we have by women and ignoramuses, which is even though they don't know what's being said, they fulfill their obligation. Why? Because ultimately, the Kriyas Megillah was being done. It's publicizing of the miracle. So although they don't understand the words, but therefore that's the same thing. Like someone who's hearing Lashon HaKadosh is also going to be valid because ultimately it's being done in the Lashon HaKadosh, and the public is reciting this of the miracle of Purim. But that mask of the Ravina, he says, but I still don't understand the answer, he says. Atu anan hachashtaronim b'nei haramachem miyadinan. There's certain words in Megillah where he says, we don't know how to translate those words. So you're telling me that these women and ignoramuses, fine, that's because the rest of the people in Shul know what's being said. So, okay, it's enough that the majority knows and everyone knows what's being done. Some people are maybe clueless, fine. But how is it going to answer that we don't know? Everyone in Shul doesn't know how to translate these words. How are we fulfilling the reading of the Megillah? So, hello, rather, he says, Mitzvah kriya uparsumi nisa. Must be, there's a mitzvah of reading the Megillah and publicizing the miracle in general. And even if you don't know every word, but that's still fulfilling the obligation. So, chanami, Mitzvah kriya uparsumi nisa. So, therefore, also over here, even though the people in Shul who, they don't know Hebrew, Lashon HaKadosh, they only know some other language. So even though they don't know what they're hearing, they're going to ask and say, what is this that everyone's reciting? What was the miracle? And people are going to tell them. So therefore, that's going to be valid, just like we don't know exactly these words, but the main idea is coming across, and therefore that's going to be valid. Now the Mishnah said, Kari Sirugin Yatza B'chulu. If the Megillah is recited Sirugin, they have fulfilled their obligation. So the Gemara tells that, like, Havayadi Rabbanan, the rabbis, the students of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who wrote the Mishnah, they didn't know my Sirugin. He said, Halacha, if you read it Sirugin, you fulfill. They didn't know how to translate that. So, Shamu'el Amsa de Bei Rabbi, so they overheard the maidservant of the household of Rabbi, the Ka'amrulul Rabbanan, that she was telling to the rabbis, the Talmudic students, that Aili Piski Piski de Bei Rabbi, they were coming in spurts of groups to the household of Rabbi. She told them, Ad Masai Atem Nechnasin Sirugin Sirugin, how long is it that you're going to come in as Sirugin? Which obviously means to say it's coming in spurts, because they were coming in groups. Why are you coming in like groups? Like a group comes, another 20 minutes later, another group, which that's what it means when you read the Megillah that way too. One has fulfilled his obligation. If one reads a paragraph and then stops, and then paragraph and stops and so on, one has fulfilled his obligation. That's what Sirugin means. Now, similarly, Lehaviyadi Rabban and my Chalaglugais. The Talmudic students didn't know what does Chalaglugais mean. It's a type of herb, which is mentioned many times in Mishnayos and Braises. They didn't know how to translate that. So Shamul Amtsu de Rabbi da Amr Le Lahu Gavra. So they overheard, again, the maidservant of the house of the Rebbe, who said to that man, Davakumavadir Parpachini, who was spreading out and throwing out his purslane, which is a type of herb, How long have you been to throw out your chaluglug? So they realized that, oh, that must be parchini, which personally, which that they knew what that was, and therefore now they knew the translation of chaluglugas. Similarly, lahavi yadi rabbanon mai, the rabbis didn't know how to translate a pasuk of Mishlei. It says salsaleha utsudem meka, salsaleha, and exalt the Torah, and then it's going to give you its bounty. Now shamula, so they didn't know how to translate salsaleha. Now, Shamula Amsa de Rebbe, they overheard the maidservant of the household of Rebbe to have his Amr Lahu Gavra, that she was telling a certain man, to have a Mahapach B'mazi, that was combing, flipping his hair. Now, Amr Lahu, she said to him, Ad Masa Atta Misalfal B'sarecha, how long are you going to comb your hair, flip your hair? Now, what is combing? Combing is like seeking, it's going in between the strands of the hair and flipping it over. So essentially, Misalfal means to go round and round. That's what he was doing with his hair, and therefore they understood that now the pasuk means sal saleho. If you turn over, like the famous mission of us, hafach ba vafach bo sre mecha, and exalted, then you can be able to tap into the beauty and the sweetness of the Torah. Similarly, lehavi other abonamai, they didn't know how to interpret a pasuk in Tehillim. Hashlech al Hashem yahavcha. Throw onto Hashem your yahav. What does that mean? So Amrabba b'chana, zimnechad habazilna. He says, one time I went Bahadia Hitaya with that certain Arab merchant, because the Rina Tuna, and I was carrying a load, a package. Vamali said to me, Shakol Yahavach Vishada Agamloi, take your package, take your load, and put on my camel. So what the Pasuk is telling us, throw on Hashem your package. You don't have to carry it, Hashem will carry it for you. Similarly, Lahavi other Rabban and Mai, the rabbis didn't know how to translate a Pasuk in Yeshaya, but Tete Siho Bimitate Hashmid, that it's going to be Mitate with a metata of destruction. So they didn't know what that meant. Shamula Amsa de Rebbe, so they heard the maidservant of the household of Rebbe, Davis Amal Chavrata, who was telling our friend, Shakuli Tate Sia, take the broom, Vitati Besa, and sweep the house. So obviously the Pasuk Yeshaya was saying that they're going to be swept with a broom of destruction. Now, Tanabon, continue on the halacha of our Mishnah. As we said in the Mishnah, Kari Seirugin, there's two words that sound similar, but they're different things and different halachas. Kari Seirugin, if someone reads the Megillah, as we said, discontinuously, which is not straight, but not out of order, just reading, stopping. So as we said, as we just quoted, the halacha yatsa, one has fulfilled his obligation. That's continuing to Medbeis, but Seirusin, which means inverted, as we find many times in Shas, Sarasas and Mikra, but invert the pasuk and expound it, or as we find in Nida, Yatza, Mechutach, and Misuris, but went out in different pieces, or inverted. So then, Lo Yatza, that's all like we said, that if you Karl Mafrei, if you read backwards, one does not fulfill his obligation. Now, Ramuna Imam Meshur Mebihudi, he qualifies, he says, no, Af Besirugin, even though we said that if you read it discontinuously, one has fulfilled his obligation, but if you delayed in the middle of reading Megillah, the amount of time that it could take to finish the Megillah, then Chayis L'Rosh, and you have to go back to the beginning and start over. On that, Amar Rav Yosef, he says, Halacha Kreb Munda, Shom Meshur Mebihudi, Halacha is like what he just said. On that, Amli Abayla Rav Yosef, so he wanted to know to qualify this Halacha, Kedei Ligmer Es Kulo, when you're saying that it's invalid if you waited the amount of time that you could finish the whole thing. Is it Mehecha de Kaila Seifa? It means to say where you are and wherever you read in the Gila, the amount of time you delayed until the end, that's how much is going to invalidate it? Idima Mereshla Seifa. Or if you waited the amount of time it would take to read the whole Megillah, and that's how much your pause was wherever it is, then it's going to be invalid. So Malay Mereshla Seifa. So if Yusuf said to him, it must mean how long you waited was from the beginning of the Megillah to the end. Because Tim Cain, because it would be like you're saying that if wherever he's up to, he could have finished it, that's going to be the validation, then the Sata Derechel Ishur, and then you're making your words contingent on different measurements, because it's always going to depend where you're holding, how much time it would take to get to the end, to say that that gap is going to be in validation. And on that, the sages never make a halacha based on relative type of measurements, but rather more concrete, and therefore must mean the time it takes to finish the whole thing. Amr Baba, Amr Bimr, Ba'aba, Amr Rav, he says similarly, halacha kremuna that we quoted before. But a Shmulam, he says, no, ain't halacha kremuna. Halacha is not like him, even if you waited the amount of time, as long as you didn't do it out of order, then it's going to be valid. Now, says the Gemara, Besura Masnehachi. In Surah, which is one of the places above, they said like the version we just quoted. But Pumbadisa Masnehachi, in Pumbadisa, different place above, they said it actually a different way. That Amrav Kahana Amrav, halacha kremuna. So that was the one difference. That was Rav Kahana Amar Rav. But Rav Bibi Masne Ibcha. Rav Bibi actually learned it the opposite. Rav Amar Ein Halacha Gremuna. Rav was the one who said Halacha is not Gremuna. Shmuel Amar Halacha Gremuna. Shmuel is the one who said that it is like Gremuna. That it will be invalid if you wait the amount of time to finish. That of Rabbi Yisrael says, Nokad Rabbi Bibi Yotchub. This last version of Rabbi Bibi is the one that you should take and say that's the primary one, that Shmuel is the one who's saying Halacha Kriyat Munah, that it's going to be invalid, because the Shmuel who dechayish lichida. It's always Shmuel who's the one who's suspect for the opinion of an individual opinion when that's more stringent and the Rabbim are more lenient, because that's the Halacha Kriyat Munah, that if you waited the amount of time, even though we said Sirugin, you're Yaitza, but if you wait the amount of time you can finish, you're not going to be Yaitza. It must be Shmuel is the one that's concerned and says halachas like him that it's going to be possible. Because it's not, as we find similar in the Mishnah Masechet Yavamis. Mishnah says, Shemeris Yavam. The word Shemeris, as we find by Yaakov Vinu with the dream of Yosef, it means anticipating, waiting. Shemeris Yavam is this woman who her husband died without any children, is anticipating her Yavam. Now, additionally, there's a mitzvah for the oldest brother to go ahead and do yibum. So she's waiting for the oldest to go ahead and take her in marriage because her husband, his brother, died without any children. But says the Mishnah, let's say Shekidish Achav Esachesa. Let's say one of the other brothers came along and got engaged to this Yavama's sister after she already had fallen, so to speak, in yibum to them, which is an obligation on older brothers. One of the brothers went and engaged her sister. So, Mershum Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Amru, in the name of Yehuda Maseira, they said, Oimrim Loi Hamtin. They tell that brother, wait before you consummate this relationship, before you get married, you're already engaged, wait. At Sheyasa Chicha Godel Maisa, until your older brother does an action in the Yavama, either to do Chalitza or to do Yibam. But as long as the Yavama is in front of what nothing was done with her yet, she's incumbent on all the brothers to do Chalitza or Yibam. So, for every brother, including you, who you got engaged to her sister, she's like your wife in some level, because there's something called a zika, a connection of yibum, which the Torah is saying, you have an obligation, one of you, and it's on all the brothers to go ahead and do that. So therefore, the sister that you're getting engaged to is forbidden to, like as if achais ishta, as if it's your wife's sister. Now the reason for this is because he holds that there's halach of zika even by more than one brother, even by two, three, four, five brothers, and of course if there's just one brother. Now the thing is, Rabbanan disagree on his opinion. They say, no. Since it's not just one brother, there's two brothers or more, so then the Zika, that connection is not distinct to be on everyone as his wife, because you can't say that all of them are married to this woman. Only one man can be married to her. Therefore, the brother who engaged the sister is actually permitted to go out and marry her. Doesn't have to wait, because it's not considered achais ishta. Now, on that says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'b'yud b'mesera, he said halacha k'b'yud b'mesera, who we see that he's machmer, he's stringent. He says, no, it's like almost every brother is like married to this Yavama, and therefore that he can't consummate the relationship with the sister, because like, quote, achay sishtoy. So we see that that's essentially Shmuel being stringent like a das yachin, and therefore must be that he's the one who says, halacha kremuna, which is a stringency in saying, although sirugin yoyetza, but if you waited the amount of time to finish, you're not going to be yetza. Tanabam lenda braisam, continuing these halachas, hishmet bas sefer asius ipsukin. If the scribe left out letters or verses from the Megillah, but the Karan HaKaire, but the one who's reading the Megillah is reading, is like, oh my, there's a pasuk missing, but he knows it by heart, he continues reading, Kimeturgum and Hamatagum, like the translator, when the translator translates, he does it orally. Here, the one who's reading the Megillah itself also does, fills in those words or those psukim by heart, says the Braisa Yatza, it's fulfilled his obligation. Says the Gemara Mesve, the Gemara asks him a following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hayiba Isius Metushtashis. If let's say there were letters that were smudgy, that were like a little bit worn out in the Megillah, or torn out. So says the Braisa, if the remnant of it is still recognizable, then it's valid. Vimlav, but if not, psul, it's invalid. So you see, it's not valid if this word's missing. It's only if it's still recognizable. But here he missed out the whole verse. He didn't even write it. For sure it's invalid. How does the first Braisa say it's going to be kasha? Says Gemara Lekash, it's not difficult. Ha, Bakula, this that the Bryce is saying it's going to be invalid, the second Bryce is talking about the entirety of the Megillah, or at least the majority, is rubbed out or torn and that you can't read it. Ha, B'miktsasa, the first Bryce that was saying it's valid, this is only part. If some words or some psukim are missing, it's still going to be valid. Now, Tanabamulin, the Bryce, regarding the halacha of a Mishnah of Sirusin, of Hakari la Megillah Mafreya, is lo yatsa. The Braisa says, Hishmet b'hakari pasuk echad. Let's say someone's reading the Megillah, and he by mistake, he skipped a line. He skipped one verse. Says the Braisa, lo yomer ekres kuli. Shouldn't say, okay, let me just finish up. V'achkech ekres eis pasuk. I'll go back and I'll make up that pasuk. Ha'lekari ma'is pasuk velech. He has to go back to read from that pasuk onward. Similarly, nichnas l'beis ha'knesses. Someone is running late to shul for the Kriyas Megillah. He gets to the shul. Umatzitzi b'shakar chetzi. He finds out they're halfway through Megillah. Lo yomer ekra chetzi matzibi. He shouldn't say, okay, you know what? Let me finish up reading the second half with the public. V'achkach ekra chetzi. And then I'll make up the first half myself. No, he has to read it from the beginning to the end. As we said, you can't be inverted. It has to be all direct from the beginning to the end. Now, the Mishnah continued and said, Misnamnim yatza v'chulu. If someone reads the Megillah dozing off, he's fulfilled his obligation. Says Gemahechadam Misnamnim, what does it mean dozing? So Mervashi says, Nim v'loinim, he's sleeping, but he's not sleeping. Tir v'loitir, he's awake, but he's not awake. Which is, the Karileva ani. If you call him, he'll answer. But he doesn't know how to answer with logic, which is something that has to come from the inside of the heart. He's not that awake. But if you remind him of something, he'll remember. So that's awake enough that he'll fulfill his obligation. Now, the Mishnah said, if someone was writing a Megillah, or Daish, or expounding a Megillah, or editing a Megillah, if as he's reading the words, he's intending that he wants to fulfill his obligation with that, then yes, he's fulfilled his obligation, but if not, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. Now, the Gemara wonders, as actually some scripts have this in the words of the Gemara, that we can understand the halacha of when he's expounding the Megillah or editing a Megillah, because the Megillah is totally written in front of him, and he's reading the words from it. But the question of the Gemara is on the case of when he said, when he's writing a Megillah, hey Chedem, what's that case talking about? So he's writing the Megillah. So if it's that, what he's doing is that he's first saying the verse by heart, as he says, after he says that line, then the cost of law, then he writes it down, and then that the Mishnah is saying that he fulfills his obligation by reading the Megillah that way. But ask the Gemara, even if he's having intent when he's doing that, what does that help? Alpehu, that's doing it orally. He's not reading it from the scroll. He's actually writing it after he says the verse. Says Gemara, no, el dekasa psuka psuka bekarle. No, rather what he's doing is he first writes the line, because it would make sense that he's saying it first because he wants to make sure he's doing it right. Vayihi b'mechashverish, then he writes it down. No, it's someone that he wrote it and then he says it. Says the Gemara, umiyatza. But even that way, would he fulfill his obligation? Okay, it's not by heart. He's reading it from the as he writes the verse afterwards, then he recites it. But would he fulfill his obligation that way? But halacha is like the one who says that you have to read the entire Megillah of Esther to fulfill your obligation, which is a machlekes tanoim in the Mishnah that says that from where does a person have to read from Megillah to fulfill his obligation? Says machlekes. Rameir says you have to read the whole Megillah. Rabbi Yehuda says from Ish Yehudi. There's different parts of the Megillah that says, oh, that's the thrust of the nes for the persumenis of the Megillah. But the halacha is that you have to read the whole thing. So here where there's only one line in the Megillah, obviously, you're not fulfilling your obligation because the Gemara says, even the pin that says that no, you don't have to read the whole Megillah to fulfill. You could even fill it, even starting from Ish Yehudi. But even that opinion holds, even though you don't have to read the whole thing, but all of it has to be written, and that's the scroll that you have to read from, starting from Ish Yehudi. So if here you're writing a line, then reading, you're not reading from a kosher Megillah. It has to be all written and then recited. So El Rebbe says the Gemara, the case we're talking about in the Mishnah is Demancha Megillah Kamei. He has a fully written scroll in front of him, and he's copying from that Megillah. You're right, he's writing Megillah, and he's saying the Pesukim each time he reads the Pasuk, and he writes it. V'karli minah, Pesukim, Pesukim, V'kasavla. He reads every Pasuk and writes it down, reads the Pasuk and writes it down. So, therefore, he's reading straight from a Megillah. So says the Gemara, but if that's the case, Lema, let's say the halacha of a Mishnah that says that if he's having intention to fulfill his obligation, he's yaitza, and you see that, as we just described, the case must be talking about that he's copying from a ready pre-written Megillah, let's say that's Mesaye l'Rabba b'Bachana. Why? Because Amar Rabba b'Bachana, Rabbi Yechon, he says the following halacha. He says, you're not allowed to write one letter that you're not copying from a ready pre-written sefer. So you see that halacha, because that's the halacha of a Mishnah, that we're saying who's this one that's fulfilling his obligation when he's writing a Megillah is because he's copying from a ready pre-written one. You see that's the requirement. Says Gemara, no, Dilma disrami la isrumui. Maybe, yeah, the case of a Mishnah is that it just happened to be, meaning maybe it's permitted to write a Megillah even without copying. Our Mishnah is happens to be talking about that he happens to be copying from a pre-written Megillah. That's what the Mishnah had to tell us, that when he's copying from a Megillah, so it's already all there, and he's copying, and he's intending, then he's going to fulfill his obligation, but maybe you don't have to. And if you weren't, then you wouldn't fulfill the obligation, because you have to be reading from a fully written Megillah. But it doesn't prove to us that it has to be like that. Now, Gufa, so we didn't prove the halacha, but the Gemara goes back to this halacha, Amar Rabba b'Chanan Rabbi Yechanan, says, "Asa licht of eis achas shleim." He says, no, you're not allowed to write a sefer even one letter, not from something already pre-written. You can't write it by heart. Says the Gemara Meisav. The Gemara asks from the following brayse. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lazar. He says Meisav b'Remeir shahalach la'aber shana ba'asi. It was an incident with Remeir that he went to incalculate the year, which is to add another month to the year, the Adar Sheni, in this place of Asya. Now in that place, it's Purim time. That's because it's Adar. That's when they're making an Adar Sheni, and there was no Megillah with him. Because of a Maliba Bekar, so he wrote it by heart. He knew the whole Megillah by heart, and they read from that Megillah. So you see that he wrote a sefer not from something pre-existing. Samer Bavo, he says, Shani Reb Meir. Reb Meir is an exception to the rule. The Mekayim Be, because by him you can fulfill the Pasuk of Mishlei, V'afa Pecha, and your pupils, Yashir and Negdecha, shall look directly what's opposite you. Which, as the Gemara explains, Amalei Ramba, Chamalei Reb Yirmei Medifti, says, Mai V'afa Pecha, Yashir and Negdecha. So Amar Allah, he says to him, Elu Divrei Torah. This refers to the words of Torah. The Chsiv Behu, how does it refer to the words of Torah? Because there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Hasarif enecha boy venenu." If you so much as blink your eye, that for one moment from the Torah, it's not there anymore. You've already forgotten it, like in the blink of an eye. So you see, the word Hasarif refers to, which is the same word as Afapecha, which is the person's eyes. That Va'afapecha is vafilahachi by such a person, as the previous pasuk is saying, miusharinhein. It's directly opposite that person, which we're saying Eitzel Remeir, that's the same case by Remeir. So you're right, you're only allowed to write from something that's already written. Remeir, it was like he was reading straight from the Sefer Torah. So he was able to do it by heart, but a regular person doesn't have that, therefore they can't do that. Now the Gemara asks, but Rav Chisda Ashkechil Rav Chananel. Rav Chisda encountered Rav Chananel, Dava Kasas Svarim Shleim Neksav. He was writing Svarim, not from something already pre-written. And Amalei said to him, look, Ruya kol ha-Torah kula l'chasev al-picha. He says, really? It's fit for the whole Torah to be written by you, by heart. But he said, but this is what the sages say. Asa l'chtav y'sa'acha shlem neksab. It's forbidden to go ahead and write even one letter, not from what's written. So the Gemara asks, Medikamar kol ha-Torah kula ruya o shidikhasev al-picha. And the fact that he said that really the whole Torah would be fit for you to write by heart. So it's obvious that Rav Chananel, he was able to, like, almost as if he's looking straight into a Sefer Torah when he's writing a Sefer Torah by heart. And still, Rav Chisda told him that that's usher to do, but Rav Meir crossed him. But what are you going to do? But Rav Meir, even though we said because of Afapech Yashir Negdecha. So Rav Chananel also had that, but still he said it's usher. So how did Rav Meir write? So it's Gemara Shasat Chakshani. A time of difficulty is different because where Remeir went, there was no Megillah. What he was telling Rav Chananel is, look, you can take a Megillah, you can take a Sefer Torah, and you can copy it over. Therefore, we don't allow it, even though it's a Vafapecha Yashir Necha. But if it is someone that's a Vafapecha Yashir Negdecha, and they're in a place that there is nothing to copy from, then someone like that, like Remeir, could go ahead and do it by heart. Now, however, there are exceptions to this rule. Like the Gemara says, Abaya, Sharla de Bei Bar Chava, Abaya permitted the household of Bar Chavu, which they were sellers of tefillin, as the Gemara says about Metziach of Testament Beis, that the tefillin of this Bei Bar Chavu were very common. He permitted them lemichtav tefillin mezuzah shleim neksav, specifically tefillin and mezuzahs, to write them not from copying over a different scroll. Says the Gemara, come on, who's that like? Says the Gemara, ki haitana, like the following time, like learn the braisa. Rabbi Yirmi Yomim Meshim Rabbeinu, he says the name of our teacher, tefillin mezuzahs nichtav shleim neksav. Those two could be written not copying from a different script. And ve'ein tzricha sirtut, and in the name of our teacher, he said that they don't need to have the etched lines in the parchment. But says the Gemara, v'hilchas halacha meishu mitzinei actually is that tefillin ein tzrichin sirtut, tefillin do not have to have etched lines, but mezuzah tzrichin sirtut, mezuzahs do need to have etched lines. And idi v'idi nechtav eshlem neksav, and both of them, like we said, they can be written not from copying over something else that's previously written. To which the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? Why is that an exception to the rule? Because migris grisin. Because the parshas of tefillin and mezuzahs are things that are very fluent in everyone's mouth, and that's something that we're not concerned someone's going to make a mistake. Generally, we want you to copy over something to make sure you don't make a mistake, but tefillin and mezuzahs, which are so common, and especially these people that are doing it all day, that they could do shleim and neksav. Now, the Mishnah concluded by saying, hesiksuv besam v'chulu. If, let's say, someone wrote the Megillah with certain types of inks, Sam, Bechula, etc., has not fulfilled his obligation. So the Gemara explains, what are these inks? Sam is Sama, which is orpiment. Sikro, Amarabha, Chani says, Sikrasa Shema, which is a type of red dye which they would dye their shutters with, which is not valid. Kaima is Kaima, which is what's called Sraphilim, which is a sap from the tree, also not valid. And we continue to talk about Bitesim and Aleph. Kankantim is Charta de Ushchafi, is this type of black dye that the shoemakers would use to dye the shoes, that's also not going to be valid. That's regarding the ink. Now, regarding what it's written on, diftera is demalich v'kamech. If it's salted and it has mixed with flour and water, but v'le ofitz, but it wasn't worked through with kol nuts, that's what diftera is, which is not valid. And yar, which is not valid, is machka, which is papyrus, which is a type of paper that's from grasses that were glued together, that those two are not valid types of papers. Which the Mishnah concludes, Ashatek Suva Ashuris. Until it's written, the letters have to be with Ksav Ashuri, which are Hebrew letters like we have in our Sifrei Torah. How do we know that? The Ksav, like it says in the Pasuk, Kiksavim Ukizmanim, has to be like their writing and their dates. So we see it has to be in their writing of Lashon HaKodesh. And the Mishnah says, Al Sefer Ubidyai B'chulu, and has to be on a Sefer, which is a cloth, a parchment, and a Bidyai, and with this ink of Diyai, which is unlike all those other inks. Now, says Gemara Manolim, where do we know this from? Because Asik Siva Ksiva, learn like Zerah Shava. Ksiv Hach, it says over here in the Megillah, Vatichtav Esther Malka, Esther, the queen wrote and says the terminology of writing. Ksiv Hasim, it says over there, passing in Yirmiyah, Vayimel and Baruch, Baruch said to them, Mipiv Yikra Eli, Eskal Dvarma Eli, from his mouth was said to me all these things. Vani Kaisiv, says the same word of writing, Al Hasefa Bidyoy, on a scroll with ink, and therefore you see that it has to be ala sefer, parchment, ubijoy, and with that ink of joy.